We bid you welcome. Appreciate your attendance very, very much. Always good to get together. I'm thankful for your desire to be with us today. I saw Don get up and leave right before the meeting. Is everything okay?
He got a call that he was needed at home.
Don's wife is what he, at home, wasn't well, and he got a call to come home. So I hope all is well with him. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning if you'd like to follow along. Comes from the text that was read to us. And then I'll give a few other verses for introduction to the lesson. The Apostle John said in 1 John 4, verse 7, he said, "Beloved, let's love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God." By definition, love is not just merely thinking it or feeling it. It's not that fuzzy feeling inside. But rather, it's a choice that we make. We choose to be benevolent. We choose to be affectionate or have devotion or have an attraction for one another. We choose to display our regard for one another. We choose to be charitable. Now, someone might say, "I love you." Another might respond, "Well, you don't show it." How do I know? You see, love reveals itself through these actions. The benevolence, the expression, the display, the show and tell. It's the idea that love involves activity. It doesn't stand by itself. It's show and tell. A couple of verses, and I put these in your notes by illustration. In John 3:16, God so loved, but it doesn't stop there. It says that he gave. Oh, activity. In John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says, I remember without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. We can't just say, I love somebody. I love you. I want to see it. Jesus gave the lesson in John chapter 13. "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." And then he gives the illustration or the example, "As I have loved you, that you also ought to love one another." Jesus didn't just say, "I sure love you guys." No. He showed it. Display. So in our lesson today, as Rick said in his introduction, we're going to look at the behavior of love. What does it look like? First of all, from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the last verse of chapter 12 says, "Desire earnestly the best gifts, but yet I show unto you a more excellent way." There's something better than the best gifts. Yes, and it's love. It's love. In 1 Corinthians 13, the last verse of our chapter, Paul says, "Now abides faith and hope and love, but the greatest of these is love." A more excellent way. It's the greatest. And in 1 Peter 4, verse 8, Peter says, "Above all things." I mean, above our talents, above our gifts and our abilities, put on love. It's his phrase. "Above all things, have fervent love among yourselves." So now our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we know it's the best. The Apostle Paul adds to our list. There's 9 spiritual gifts in chapter 12, and he mentions 6 more here. 15 talents or abilities or opportunities or ways that God uses us. And notice what he says, and it was in the text. What about tongues? Oh, That's an exalted language, isn't it? But yet without love. What did he say? Sounding brass? You're just a clanging cymbal. Wait a minute, but I have this exalted language. Oh, but without love. No. Oh, prophecy. Well, that's pretty good. But yet, it's going to be done away in verses 9 and 10 of the chapter. So without love, the speaker is reduced to nothing. Oh, but I prophesy. But if you don't love, without love, that's a pretty good gift. I understand all mysteries. I have all knowledge. I can't get any better than that, can you? Wow. But without love, nothing. Someone has said they have all faith. Without love, nothing. I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Without love, the phrase is, it profits me nothing. What would I give my body to be burned? You can only do that once. Give my body to be burned, the pinnacle of all deeds, so to speak. Self-sacrifice. And yet, Paul says, if you have not love, excuse me, profits mean nothing. Nothing. So love, began by it's the more excellent way. It's the greatest. It's above all things, love. All right, now here's what it looks like. All these characteristics of love. You know the Dove candy, the little chocolate candy, sometimes shaped in a heart? I had one. And they always have a little message inside. This one says, chocolate is the best way to say, I love you. Well, I can't argue with it, but it's not biblical. It's not in Paul's list of how love behaves itself. I looked. Well, is Dove, are you really chocolate? If you want to give me chocolate, I'll accept your love. But here's the list. 16 things. First one, love suffers long. And it's patterned after God's love. In 2 Peter 3, verse 9, it says, the Lord is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So when Paul says, you know what love looks like? It's long-suffering. And that's what God's love for us looks like. In loving one another, there's going to be a recognition of weaknesses. And when someone is weak, we need to be slow in losing our patience with them. Love is long-suffering. We need to realize that some things just take time. Love is long-suffering. Next is love is kind. Much of Jesus' life was spent in doing good. The Bible says in Acts 10, verse 38, was kind. And the one, I want to say great thing, because love is greatest, that we can do for our Heavenly Father is to be kind to His children, to one another. Love is kind. I want to be kind because you need it and I need it. It's easily done. It pays and remembered by the one who's received it. As much as I remember maybe sometimes the wrong that's been done to me, I remember the love that's been shown. And sometimes on the spot, someone does something kind to me and I'll say, aren't you kind? Yeah, kind. It's a service that one does to another. It's courtesy. Love is kind. Now, it's interesting. The next eight things in Paul's list are on what not to do. So we have the negative side. The next one says, love does not envy. When we love one another, we're not in competition with each other. It doesn't envy. We're not jealous. You see, by definition, envy would be that ill will feeling or the action that leads us away from Christian service. But if I love, I'm not going to envy you and draw myself away from you. I want to see what I can do. You see, envy grieves us when somebody else is honored. Oh, I don't like that. Solomon said in Proverbs 14, verse 30, envy is the rottenness of the bones. Love doesn't envy. The next on the list is, it vaunts not itself. It's not boastful. I think of King James, it doesn't parade itself. It doesn't put on a display. It's not for self-glorying. It's not injured when our actions don't receive the credit that we think they deserve. If we still love one another, we maintain that love even when our name is not in the bulletin. I didn't get credit. Well, I still love. Love is not self-promoting. It's not, hey, look at me. Love doesn't shout out, did you see what I just did? Love doesn't ask the question, where's the love, man? Where's the love? Vaunts not itself. Next, almost like it, it says it's another not. In other words, not conceited, it's not pride-filled, it's not arrogant, it's not inflated with my own self-worth. It means that I don't want to become a blowhard. Love is not puffed up. In loving one another, we don't take away the honor that another deserves. Love is not puffed up. The next phrase is, and love does not behave itself unseemly. In other words, it exhibits proper conduct, proper behavior. It's discreet. It doesn't take advantage of another. And in the same way, some of these just kind of work together, but they're just a different phrase. The next phrase is, it doesn't seek its own. Well, that's not, meaning it's not selfish. Someone might say, well, I have my rights. But love may call upon us to give way and to seek someone else's welfare. Love follows the Beatitude in Acts 20, verse 35, is more blessed to give than to receive. I don't want to always seek my own. Sometimes I want to give that right up because of my love for another. I think by definition included in love doesn't seek its own. Love goes the second mile. Love does what it's supposed to do and then adds a little more. More than what's required. Love says, keep saying, how can I help you? What can I do for you? It doesn't seek its own, but rather the blessing or the benefit of another. So you want to be, the statement we're making here, as Rick said in his introduction, we're looking at, what does love look like? What's the behavior of love? The next not in the text is, it's not easily provoked. Sometimes I have to watch what I say. In my banter, sometimes in my comments, it's not always well received. But hopefully, if you love me, or we love one another, you're not easily provoked. I put in your notes, by definition, you're not irritated by the habits of others. Well, we get irritated, but we still love. Yeah, that irritates me, but that's right. But I'm going to do these other characteristics of love, too. In other words, if we're not easily provoked, we're not easily upset. I can get upset. But I don't want to be easily upset. Easily provoked in the King James. I don't want to live with a chip on my shoulder. You see, the quality, this definition here is not easily provoked. This quality of love has to do with our temperament, our disposition. I don't want to be easily offended just because somebody says something or does something. The next one thinks no evil. So when we think about one another, I hope we're thinking good things. I know something good about you. I know something good. In other words, we think the best of others unless the evidence proves different. The next one in line, after thinks no evil, it doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness. I don't want to be glad over the evil that a brother commits. I don't want to be happy about their situation. I don't want to be or find pleasure in learning about another's misdeeds. I don't want to rejoice or enjoy seeing the reputation of another destroyed. Love. A more excellent way, the greatest, and above all. We're not glad about the transgression of another. And now he comes back to on the positive side of love. What does it look like? It rejoices with the truth. In 2 John verse 4, John says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. We rejoice when we see one another walking according to God's way. Walking according to the commandments. As Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, it makes us happy. I love to rejoice when people walk in truth, God's way. And then the next one, bears all things. Oh, we kind of talked about that before in these definitions. But I look at bearing all things three ways. How am I going to bear all things? First of all, I can bear something in that it supports. You bear up something. You hold up another. You strengthen another. I'm going to bear with you. That's one way to look at that word phrase, bear. I'm going to bear with you. The next phrase, next way to look at the word bearing, is that we bear in patience. Well, that was the definition of love, wasn't it? Long-suffering. I'm going to forbear. I'm going to last. I'm going to grin and bear it. I'm going to make a strong effort. I'm going to bear down myself when it concerns another. I'm going to bear support you. And I'm going to be patient. I'm going to bear it. The third way to look at this phrase bear is that perhaps I just need to keep silent. Yeah, I know what you said or did, but sometimes I just need to keep silent. Some things are better left untold. You remember that slogan, silence is golden. And sometimes you determine the time for that, but there's a time when I'm going to bear all things. There's a time to support, there's a time to be patient, and there's a time to keep silent. I'm going to bear all things. Then the next one, believes all things. That doesn't mean to be gullible, blindly accept things. Doesn't mean to park your brains, just believe anything and everything. So I want you to believe all the good you can about another. I want you to believe the good without forsaking the truth of God. Then the next one is hopes all things. When you hope for something, Think about, what does that mean? Hope, by one definition, it's a constant expectation of something good to happen. I hope. A constant expectation of something good to happen. Titus 2 verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God in our Savior Jesus Christ. Yeah. I hope. Love hopes all things. Next one's endures. This is kind of important. Well, they're all important, but if I was going to emphasize another one of these, give it some impetus. Your love should not wear out. It endures. Our love will certainly be bombarded, won't it? We won't always like what people say or what people do. You're not always going to get along with what's going on. Sometimes you may not like what's going on around here. But love endures. Your love for one another is going to be tried. But your love should be designed to last. It should be unmoved. Keep on loving one another no matter what the test. Others may be unlovely, but you love them. I may be unlovely. I may say things like I sometimes do. I think, oops, wish I could take that back. But if I'm going to love you when you're unlovely, I want you to love me when I'm unlovely. I don't want your love to wear out. Then the last one in Rick, I forgot to say this. I didn't want you to read the whole verse of verse 8. I just wanted that last phrase, love never fails. That's why I only put the verse 7 in the scripture reading. But I wanted this last phrase too, love never fails. That's how the conclusion of the behavior of love. You see, in the context, all these spiritual gifts, they're going to end. Some of them were just in part. But love doesn't lose its beauty. Love doesn't lose its value. Love doesn't lose its benefit. And if we put love into practice, it's going to have its reward. See? And life, because we love one another, we're involved in the lives of one another, we're going to have lots of opportunities to learn to love. And a person gets good at something through practice. I want you to practice loving one another, even when you or I'm unlovely. I want your love to last, to not be removed. I don't like what you said to me. Wait a minute, love lasts. Love is long suffering. Think about God's love for us. Do I always measure up and yet God still loves me? Do I sometimes falter? Yeah, God still loves me. Think God is happy with everything I say, yet he still loves me. Think God is happy with everything I do, but yet God still loves me. Yeah. Love the best. So let's practice loving one another. That's the lesson. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. If you're here now, remember the New Testament church. You're not a Christian. You have not obeyed the gospel message, meaning you have not been baptized for remission of sins. We can accomplish that this morning. From your study, you've learned about God's great and gracious love for us. And you believe it. You're willing to turn your life around repentance. You're willing to confess your faith that Jesus is God's Son. And when those things are in place, then you can be baptized for remission of sins. Rise to walk in newness of life. And from that point on, then we begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's the invitation. It's on the back of your bulletin, too. But that's the invitation and the exhortation we extend at the close of every lesson. We sing a song of encouragement. So let's stand together, and that is what we sing. If that's your desire to obey the gospel message this morning, to repent and be baptized, we can accomplish that. Just simply come to the front and let your request be known.